This is Arturo Commando. And this is the Arturo Commando Show. We are on Portland Indie Media Web Radio. And we are streaming across the internet into your living room. Welcome to the Arturo Commando Show. Hope everyone's having a nice night tonight. We're going to get started here in just a second. It's Sunday. Sunday, September 4th, 2005. And you're listening to Portland Indie Media Web Radio. You can instant message in at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is Portland IMC Radio. And you can talk to us, ask us questions, and we'll either ignore you or talk back. Okay, anyway, this is our Arturo Commando Show. We got somebody in the studio. We got somebody calling in. Adam from Dallas, of course, is instant messaging. He's doing all the groovy intern work. You know, it's like I come in here and I don't have any idea what's going on, but Adam is like my teleprompter. He just feeds me my lines. If you like this show for any reason, it's because of Adam. He tells me what to say. So, thanks. Let's give a little round of applause for Adam in Dallas. Yay! And that's, you can check that out at, see what Adam's doing in Dallas with freeradiodallas.net. Okay, anyway, we're going to start the show. I'm going to play some music. We'll be probably working on a few technical things really quick, and then we'll come back and we'll be there for you. That's right, you, the people that are listening. Because it's not only Portland that's listening, it's the world. I'm not popular. No, I'm not. Anyway, here we go. We'll be right back. The Arturo Commando Show!
Yeah. Identity.
Yeah.
is Arturo Commando, and we're back. Just in case you cared, we were listening to, of course, starting the show with the Arturo Commando show song, and then we heard a little bit of Michael Jackson. That's right. It was his old school disco stuff. I can't help but really enjoy that stuff. That was Off the Wall, off the wall album. And then we heard some Cibo Mato. Actually, I think I'm pronouncing that wrong. But anyway, the Japanese band. I guess they're known for that song, Know Your Chicken. But anyway, the song I just played was Sci-Fi Wasabi. And then the singer of that band is in the now mainstream and famous Gorillaz. So she goes under a cartoon name, though. She's like a cartoon character. Anyway, we're back. This is Portland Indie Media Web Radio. This is Arturo Commando on the Arturo Commando Show. And let's see. We're going to get somebody from the East Coast, Andre from Massachusetts, on. He's on the phone right now. I'm going to switch him over. So hold on, and we'll see if this works. The equipment is just so temperamental here that we never know if anything's going to work. I picked up the phone just a second ago, and it didn't even work. So I was like, oh, crap. Okay, so hold on. Andre, are you there? Okay, I'm going to switch over. Switch over now, okay?
Hold on.
Hello? Are you there? Wait.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, can you hear me fine?
Yep.
Okay, you're successfully on the air. We did it. The equipment pulled through.
Awesome.
Hold on just a second. Somebody's yelling to me through the window. This is just like,
okay.
This is just like, you know, I don't even know what kind of radio to call this. Slash and burn radio, or do-it-yourself radio, or ghetto radio. So hold on a second.
All right.
Why? Okay.
I need to throw some keys out the window really quick. Hold on.
Okay.
Here, just use mine.
Wow. Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay.
So, Andre, you're in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, Northeastern.
Wow. So you listen to the show occasionally, regularly, or
basically every week, and if I don't catch it live, I catch it the next day.
Oh, cool, cool. Well,
yeah.
It's nice to know that, you know, sometimes you're sitting in a room and you know, spending some time talking on a mic and not knowing why, and then some people will email in and say, I love, you know, what you do, and so I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Really quick before, you know, we start talking about other stuff, like, tell us something about yourself. I know that's kind of a broad question, and, you know, you don't have to tell me, like,
as of now,
too specific, but, you know. Are you there?
The phone line getting a little bit choppy.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. That's I think it's because it's
okay.
It's on VoIP. It's voice over IP. It's over the computer. So.
Oh okay.
So what do you go to school then, right?
Oh yeah. I'm a freshman.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah.
You're a freshman.
What?
I was like, you were a freshman in college, high school, or what?
High school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have an interest in, like, media?
Yeah, I do. Political. I'm planning on going into politics as of now.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm sorry.
So, continue.
It seems to be a little bit of a delay, so I'll try to watch out for that, but,
okay.
What's driven you at a young age to get involved with politics and I guess the world around you?
I don't know. It's just, I think it's the fact that I'm looking at what's happening right now and I'm realizing that, like, it's all gonna start working when I turn of age, quote unquote, and I realize that I want to be able to, when I become of age, change it for the people who are coming to the next stage and try to make it better in any such way.
Well, you know, and that's, I think that's amazing because I don't remember feeling like so, I don't remember feeling like that. I felt like more in the you know, the cloud of, you know, just the consumer world. And, and I don't feel like there's a lot of people out there, especially young people, being encouraged to, you know, take part in the system and, you know, taking a hold of your future and changing things for the better. Do you see other people, other friends or whatever, feeling the same way, or, you know, is this just...
Not on a large scale. Like, a couple of my friends, or whenever, like, we're talking at lunch or something, they'll be like, yeah, that's a good idea, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But usually I get discouraged by, like, teachers and stuff, because last year I started writing my manifesto on my political thoughts, and I got it ripped up and thrown out by one of my teachers.
Oh, wow.
And... yeah, it's gotten to the point where, like, they'll just scream at me in class for an entire class period when I don't even do anything. It's really funny.
So what does, do you get anything about, out of the school system these days? I mean, do you feel like they're, you know, nurturing any part of, you know, of your interests? Or is this a lot of... Oh, go ahead.
No. Well, if anything, I think that they're the common... school system, just the public school system as of now, is more of a discouraged tactic and just making people all learn the same exact things. Like, Columbus discovered America, he was a nice guy, that's what's there and that's what you're going to believe. It's kind of just turning everybody into kind of gray uniform jelly, and it's disgusting.
I think it's always been like that too. It's really, you know, it's monoculture, you know, just believe,
yeah,
you know, what everyone's believing, and just keep the system afloat, and don't make waves or anything.
Yeah, like, it's hard not to make waves in my town, because I come from a town of 9,000 people, where 90% of them are Polish Catholics.
Oh, wow.
And it's extremely hard to do anything and get away with it.
Wow.
But I'm doing I'm working on a TV show for our local public access called Citizens Platform.
Uh-huh.
And it's headed by a local guy named Roy Thompson, and he's pretty cool, and I've just been working on that, kind of putting in my ideas. That's basically the only way I've been able to do that lately.
Wow. You know what's great about,
yeah,
you know, what I've been doing with, you know, the Arturo Commando show is I've met, you know, a lot of young people that are just amazing, including you. You know, it's just...
Thank you.
You seem so smart, and, you know, you have so much ambition. And I was, you know, I think back to what I was doing at your age and everything, and I feel like a moron. But, yeah, I mean, that's great. I love to see people, like, you know, especially so young. I mean, that's the way it should be anyway, is to encourage,
yeah,
anyone of any age to, you know, take part in what is governing them, you know, take part in, you know, whatever is controlling them, you know, just whatever, you know, take control,
oh, yeah,
of your life. Don't just try to go and purchase it, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree just completely. And that's what I'm seeing, especially now since I've entered high school. People are just mindlessly walking by.
Yeah.
Even older people, and it's just like, wow, I can never just watch what's going on and be silent about it.
So you share your thoughts with your teachers and, you know, people around you, like, you know,
when it works into the schedule, yeah, I wouldn't just blurt out, hey, I'm a Marxist or something like that. But the first time that I really thought about this was in seventh grade, okay.
Uh-huh.
And we were studying world cultures, and we were studying Russia, and my teacher was like, yeah, the communists were evil, and they were just destroying everybody. And I raised my hand and I asked her why the communists were so evil, and I just studied communism, and as of now I'm a Marxist, but it's It's funny because I work at McDonald's, but I can't really escape that at the age of 14.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, and, like, during history this year, we're going to be doing, like, the Russian Revolution, and I'm going to try to work in my political beliefs into that, but I don't do anything that's too revolutionary that will get me kicked out of school. I'm not trying to do that, but I tend to speak up at occasions where I deem it necessary or just something that I could do.
What kind of reaction do you get from your, you know, teachers? Because obviously, you know, having a state of mind of, you know, being a Marxist is like, you know, not something that, you know, I don't even think of people, you know, mainstream society even thinks about that anymore, you know? It used to be a threat. I don't even think it's a threat anymore.
No, I don't really think it is either, but whenever I discuss it or I'm discussing it with my friends just in like a group or something, I always have them kind of like leering over me, and I've gotten a couple gasps of things I've said and stuff. Like last year we were studying important people in history, and I decided to important things that people like did and important qualities they had.
Uh-huh.
So instead of writing about, like, the fact that George Washington fathered our country, I wrote about how Hitler was a great rhetorician and how he could easily sway people. And my teacher, she asked me if anyone wanted to read theirs in front of the class, and I was like, okay. So I read mine, and she told me to sit down, and I was like,
wow.
Okay. But I've gotten a couple, you know, if you say one more thing, you're going to the office, just shallow threats that never really happen, but...
Wow.
It
Have you ever gotten you need counseling, or...
Never in that sense. I've had people call me crazy and that I should be locked up, but but nothing that teachers have actually approached me and said, listen, you really need counseling, but I bet they think it.
Wow. We have somebody instant messaging in, and they wanted to share that they're a cooperative anarchist, and
it's a cooperativist.
Oh,
anarchist.
Okay. Cooperativist. I didn't see that. A cooperativist anarchist, and they work at Starbucks, so they wanted to say don't feel bad about, you know, being a Marxist and working at McDonald's.
Thank you very much.
But that seems to be the, you know, what's going on here, because, you know, hey, I'm an anarchist, and I work at Walmart, so... It's like getting stuck, you know, you can't, you know, you gotta do what you
gotta
do.
Oh, yeah, you can't escape it.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully in the future we all can, but, you know...
Oh, hopefully.
We also have another suggestion for you from Adam from Dallas, says that you should start your own radio station.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do that, but locally I don't have any real interest, people don't have any real interest.
Yeah,
I come from the middle of...
What was that?
Oh, yeah, it's just that I come from the middle of nowhere, and people really don't care.
Oh, really?
But I could probably set something up with Albany or Boston or something.
Wow, yeah, that would be cool. We can always hook you up with people if you ever need help with that, so...
Okay. Yeah, I'll look into that.
Okay. Let's see, I wanted to introduce the Sophie... What are you what are you going by? Hold on.
It's the lovely Trashina.
Oh, okay. We got Trashina here, and
I'm here all the time.
She's here all the time, but I just wanted
to
bring her into the discussion. How are you doing today, Trashina?
Well.
Well.
Hardworking.
Hardworking, always, of course.
And I am enjoying
Andre.
Yeah.
Andre, can you hear her fine, right?
No, I can't.
Okay. Hold on.
I think it's...
Well, I appreciate you sharing your story.
Did you hear that?
No.
Okay. I don't remember which knob it is. I thought it was this one.
That's it.
Yeah. No, that's it. Okay. I don't know. We might have to... I don't know. I'll just have to...
I mean, this mic was fixed for the phone patch.
Did you hear her say that?
Barely.
Barely. Okay, well, maybe we just need to turn your gain up, because I can't hear you all that well as well, so... Okay, so, briefly, actually, I might try to fix that. I might want to play a song, and if you don't mind hanging on, Andre...
Okay.
I'll try to fix that, and we'll come back and switch up the conversation a little bit. So,
okay.
For everyone out there, you're listening to the Arturo Commando Show on Portland Indie Media. And we'll be right back. Live. And we'll be right back after these messages. No, after we hear something that I'm trying to figure out what to play. I don't know. Oh gosh, I haven't heard this song in a while. We're going to hear a little bit of System of a Down, so we'll be right back, okay? And this is the Arturo Commando Show.
Computers, you depend on our protection, yet you feed us lies.
Okay. That was my abrupt ending to that song, but whatever. Okay, this is Arturo Commando on the Arturo Commando Show. Let's see, we've got Andre. I swear I thought I hung up on him. I even heard a dial tone, but we got him there, so we're going to put him back on.
Andre, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. I thought I lost you. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Let's see. We're going to try to another mic and see if you can hear Trashina.
Hello? Hello, Andre. Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Can you hear her at all?
No.
Okay, one more time. Okay.
Hello?
Did you hear
me?
Yep, I heard her.
Okay, cool. The gain on that is really low, though. So, okay, can you speak, and then I can always check the gain on that.
Hi, this is Trashina, and I am live on the Arturo Commando Show. It's Sunday night, and it's really hot in here. We're eating bananas, we're drinking Orangina, and we're having a grand old time.
Wow, that was... I wasn't expecting that.
That's your public service announcement for the day.
That was excellent. Let me see if that's... Here, try speaking again.
Hi, this is Trashina, and I'm live on the Arturo Commando
Show. You sound like a recording. can you hear her good?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay, cool. So I can turn this one down. Sorry, this is like... We've, moved the studio, and then we had to, rework some of the electronics in the studio as well, and so, I don't know. It works one week, and then it doesn't, and then, so.
Some of us here need a new training.
Yeah, that's true. That's way true.
Including myself.
So Trashina, I know that we were talking earlier, and I kind of wanted to bring Andre in on this, was about the hurricane.
Yes.
Now,
evil Katrina.
Now, Andre, you were telling me that you wrote a paper recently about about what's going on in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell Trashina about that, and I don't know, I'd like to hear a little bit about what you said in your paper.
Well, the paper was basically just about the hurricane. It was an impromptu, just science thing. And we could pick any kind of role and audience we wanted. So I picked a politician running to the president about a proposed plan for initial, economic help towards the hurricane relief. And what I decided on was a year quarterly, so like 3 months at a time, 1% increase of national taxes, and that 1% would go towards a fund, so what you ever will call it, and that would be used on national disaster help and just anything that's needed, instead of every time one of these things happens, have a begathon on every single channel. And I haven't gotten the paper back yet, but and it was pretty interesting just kind of putting it together, and I had to look up a bunch of stuff online, but it was just a proposed plan. I highly doubt anything like that's ever going to be enacted, but it was just a...
Well, I was just going to say that you were kind of telling me that was out of the idea that you felt that they had no idea what they were going to do to how to handle this in the future for rebuilding and everything. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what, what gave you the, you said a 1% tax?
Yeah, just a 1%.
So that was, where did you get that idea? Did you see some figures on how much a 1% tax would, how much that would be?
I was just kind of at my house one day, and I was just chilling around. I was watching TV, and they had all the charity things on TV, and I was just like, wow, this is kind of dumb. How come every time there's one of these big disasters, we need to beg every single person on every single TV channel, and why can't just people just give to it without even knowing? And I just decided, and you just add 1% on to each state's tax, and then that penny of every dollar just goes into a bank account, and it just gets funded that way.
Is it...
I didn't really work out the minute details of it, but that's all I really have for right now. I'm not really expecting to kind of add on to it, but I could probably come up with something.
Well, I was going to ask, is it possible that some of these disaster relief organizations are capitalizing on the fact that there's disaster to fundraise?
I could barely hear that. Like, I can make out, like, two words. I don't know if that's the volume or something, but...
Is this better?
Oh, yeah, it's better.
Okay, because basically my lips are on the microphone. But I was just saying, is it possible that these disaster relief organizations are capitalizing on disaster to fundraise?
Oh, yeah, I think they're doing that, of course, but...
So, like, it makes sense to have a begathon right after a...
Oh, yeah, it does make complete sense, but I think that people should give to it without, like, just kind of not even passing a glance and not having to do it. I think it should kind of be, like, forced, like, help one's brother and that sort of thing.
Right. We were talking about that earlier, how all these people are... I was on Craigslist earlier, and there's a lot of people posting for temporary shelter for hurricane victims.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed to see that so many people wanted to open their homes to, you know, to people who were victimized by the hurricane. But I had to ask, like, what about opening your homes to homeless people in your neighborhood? I mean, it's sort of like in the same vein, like, why are we reacting to a natural disaster when there are problems and quote-unquote disasters and crises happening every day, all the time, in your neighborhood?
Yeah, I never really thought about that before.
Yeah,
because I've been hearing about people opening up their homes too, but I never thought about the homeless situation.
Yeah, I mean, we're bringing in 1,000 people from Portland. I don't know where they're coming from, if they're coming right out of Louisiana or Alabama or Texas. But, you know, I just find it so interesting that, you know, people are so, and I think it's great that people are so giving to the victims, but there are people victimized daily by our system, by capitalism, and it's like, that we can overlook. You know, a building burns down, and a couple of people are homeless, and we can overlook that. Or people lose their jobs, we can overlook that. But a natural disaster, that, you know, is, I don't know, maybe it's the magnitude of the situation?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to bring in to that is that I agree with the fact that, you know, obviously there's a lot of willingness to, you know, take the, you know, people affected by the hurricane into their homes. And yes, there's homeless people in your own city that need help that people are ignoring. But also, I'm hoping that maybe this would help that all out. Maybe it would help people like that, that are offering to take those people in, realize that there are misfortunate people. So, you know, maybe it would have an overall effect to where it would open them up to other ideas and what's going on in their own city. That's wishful thinking, of course. But
oh, yeah.
Well, I am real excited to see how this is going to turn out with, you know, 1,000 people coming to Portland. If they are, you know, these are things that corporate media is not reporting on. Like, I have no idea if they're if the 1,000 hurricane victims are choosing to come to the Northwest, if they even know that they're coming to Portland. You know, some of the reports that I've been hearing is that some of the people who are ending up, let's say, in Dallas or Houston don't even know that they're going to Dallas or Houston. They get on the bus, they get off the bus, and all of a sudden they're in Dallas or Houston, you know? So I'm real curious to see if it'll be the same story when they're in Portland or what. And apparently Washington State is also getting 2,000 people. If they're going to get off the plane and be like, oh, my God, we're in the Northwest. And the thing about the Northwest is that it is so, you know, climate-wise, so different than the Gulf states. So I have no idea what's going to happen. I can't even predict. I'm not even going to try. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. Tune in to Portland Indie Media.
Do you know anything about Massachusetts there? Are they receiving people? Are they, you know, any big-time donations? Or is there any outcry by the public for what's going on?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think that Boston is taking in, I think, 500 or something, 500 or so people. But it's nothing huge. But a couple people that I work with at McDonald's, they've been sent down to help. I think they were actually volunteers that were formed in a group and were sent down there to help. And one of my my sister's friends, his wife, was down there, and he went down there and helped out for a while. So I know that a bunch of people are actually going down there, but I'm not really sure how many people are coming back up. I think the number around 500 just sticks in my head for some reason, but it's nothing on a huge scale. It's minimal.
Yeah. Now, have you heard back from any of the people that have gone down there to help out?
Not yet, because no one's really back, but I've heard, like, just things, how it's, like, completely, completely devastating. It's the most depressing thing anyone could ever see.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So they're sending people from McDonald's down there?
No. No, that would be kind of weird, though. I don't know how.
I thought that would
give a bunch of fry-laters, but I'm not sure. But
serve hamburgers to the devastated refugees.
Well, didn't McDonald's try that? Donate hamburgers to Afghanis?
Yeah, I think they did that a while ago, but I think that failed horribly because,
right.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Wow. There's always a new marketing scheme when it comes to devastation.
Oh, yeah, send in McDonald's, just give them hamburgers and french fries. They'll shut them up.
Yeah, this will just get them used to us building a store there in a, you know, in a couple of years.
Yeah, when everything's back, it's like the first three things you have. You set up a fire station, a police station, then you set up a McDonald's, and you're perfectly fine.
Yeah. Did you look like you were going to say something.
So there's been a lot of discussion about New Orleans and whether or not it's going to be rebuilt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if it's going to be rebuilt in the, like, beautiful, historical, you know, with architecture and history in mind, or is it going to be rebuilt like Disneyland?
Yeah. Well, so, gee, I hope so. That way, the next time this happens, at least it'll look a lot cooler when it's devastated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I find myself, you know, thinking about the rebuilding project, and, you know, it's not my choice. I don't live there, and I'm not going to live there. But I feel like I keep on thinking about the fact that why are we building
in an area that is just, like, so prone to devastation, you know? I mean, everyone's known about this for at least a decade or, you know, more, even, you know, 30 years. I don't know how long, but at least a decade, you know. I know they have talked about that if they get one, you know, hurricane that hits that city, it could be devastation. So everyone's known about this, but no one's done jack shit about it.
You know, I got a great email today. If I can have a minute to look it up, it talks about, it actually talks about the hurricane in the context of race.
Uh-huh.
Here, let me look it up.
Okay. We also, that's actually a good part of it, too. We got somebody, Maui from Michigan was IMing in his frustration for you know, just the racist part of this whole devastation or this whole tragedy. Is just that, you know, basically, well, it's a class and race issue. Basically, you know, New Orleans as a major city is one of the largest, has one of the highest poverty rates, just in case anyone didn't know.
Oh, that. Yeah, I didn't know that. I wouldn't even thought of that on the poverty scale, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and, you know, and that has, you know, unfortunately in this country, that goes hand in hand with, you know, the race end of it, you know. There's a lot of,
yeah.
I mean, obviously there's a lot of black people in New Orleans, and they cannot get out of there because of, they can't afford to get out of there. Well, this was before the hurricane showed up. They couldn't afford to get out of there, and they don't even have transportation, you know. So, and the other part of it is that New Orleans is one of the major, was it the top cities, if not the top, I don't remember if it was the top or one of them, that has the largest amount of people without cars. So, you know, it's just, I mean, right there, those two things have put the scenario that when this hurricane was coming and they knew it was coming, that there was a large amount of people that were going to be, you know, stuck there and prone to devastation, being killed and, you know, and being stuck and needing to be rescued. So, and that being a class issue. And also, like I said, since class and race in this country go hand in hand, it's turned out to where, okay, we knew that this was going to happen, and we didn't prepare for it, and now we've got all these people that have been ignored, have not been taken care of, and no one still has really responded in an adequate manner. And then when you look back on that and see that it is a race and class issue, I mean, what do you think? I mean, it's just like, I don't know what the answer is, obviously, but to me, my opinion, it looks like a racist thing, you know? It looks like a classist thing, you know? Nobody gives a damn or wants to lend a helping hand to poor people, let alone, you know, African Americans, you know. It's just, it's sick. It's really sick.
Yeah.
So I guess everyone was just listening to me rant.
Well, do you want me to read this the story?
Yeah. So what is this?
Basically, it was sent to an email list that I belong to. I'm not going to get into too many details, but it's written by this dude who actually writes for The Left Turn. You ever hear of Left Turn?
I think I've heard of it, but
I think it's probably like a.
Yeah, I've heard of it in passing, but I've never looked at it.
Yeah.
Do you guys want me to read the entire letter or just parts of it?
Yeah, you can read it. It doesn't look like it's, well, it's not too long, right?
No, okay. I'll read fast.
Okay.
I just left New Orleans a couple of hours ago. I traveled from the apartment I was staying in by boat to a helicopter to a refugee camp. If anyone wants to examine the attitude of federal and state officials towards the victims of Hurricane Katrina, I advise you to visit one of the refugee camps. In the refugee camp I just left, on the I-10 freeway near Causeway, thousands of people, at least 90% black and poor, stood and squatted in mud and trash behind metal barricades under an unforgiving sun, with heavily armed soldiers standing guard over them. When a bus would come, it would stop at a random spot. State police would open a gap in one of the barricades, and people would rush for the bus, with no information given about where the bus was going. Once inside, we were told evacuees would be told where the bus was taking them: Baton Rouge, Houston, Arkansas, Dallas, or other locations. I was told that if you boarded a bus bound for Arkansas, for example, even people with family and a place to stay in Baton Rouge would not be allowed to get out of the bus as it passed through Baton Rouge. Okay, let me scroll down a little bit. You had no choice but to go to a shelter in Arkansas. If you had people willing to come to New Orleans to pick you up, they could not come within 17 miles of the camp. I traveled throughout the camp and spoke to Red Cross workers, Salvation Army workers, National Guard, and state police, and although they were friendly, no one could give me any details on when buses would arrive, how many, where they would go to, or any other information. Spoke to the several teams of journalists nearby and asked if any of them had been able to get any information from any federal or state officials on any of these questions, and all of them, from Australian TV to local Fox affiliates, complained of an unorganized, non-communicative mess. One cameraman told me, as someone who's been in this camp for 2 days, the only information I can give you is this: get out by nightfall. You don't want to be here at night. Scrolling down a little more. There was also no visible attempt by any of those running the camp to set up any sort of transparent and consistent system. For instance, a line to get on buses, a way to register contact information or find family members, special needs services for children and infirm, phone services, treatment for possible disease exposure, nor even a single trash can. To understand this tragedy, it's important to look at New Orleans itself. For those who have not lived in New Orleans, you have missed an incredible, glorious, vital city, a place with a culture and energy unlike anywhere else in the world, a 70%, that's 70%, African-American city where resistance to white supremacy has supported a generous, subversive, and unique culture of vivid beauty, from jazz, blues, and hip-hop, to second lines, Mardi Gras Indians, parades, beads, jazz funerals, and red beans and rice on Monday nights. New Orleans is a place of art and music and dance and sexuality and liberation unlike anywhere else in the world. It is a city of kindness and hospitality where walking down the block can take 2 hours because you stop and talk to someone on every porch, and where a community pulls together when someone is in need. It is a city of extended families and social networks, filling the gaps left by city, state, and federal governments that have abdicated their responsibility for public welfare. It is a city where someone you walk past on the street not only asks how you are, they wait for an answer. It is also a city of exploitation and segregation and fear. The city of New Orleans has a population of just over 500,000 and was expecting 300 murders this year, most of them centered on just a few overwhelmingly black neighborhoods. Police have been quoted as saying that they don't need to search out the perpetrators because usually a few days after the shooting, the attacker is shot in revenge. There is an atmosphere of intense hostility and distrust. Distrust between much of black New Orleans and the New Orleans Police Department. In recent months, officers have been accused of everything from drug running to corruption to theft. In separate incidents, two New Orleans police officers were recently charged with rape while in uniform, and there have been several high-profile police killings of unarmed youth, including the murder of Jannard Thomas, which has inspired ongoing weekly protests for several months. The city has a 40%, that's 40, illiteracy rate, and over 50, that's 50%, of black ninth graders will not graduate in 4 years. Louisiana spends, on average, $4,724 per child. Per child's education, and ranks 48th in the country for lowest teachers' salaries. the equivalent of more than two classrooms of young people drop out of Louisiana schools every day, and about 50,000 students are absent from school on any given day. Far too many young black men from New Orleans end up enslaved in Angola Prison, a former slave plantation, where inmates do manual farm labor, and over 90% of inmates eventually die in the prison. It is a city where industry has left, and most remaining jobs are low-paying, transient, insecure jobs in the service economy. Do you want me to keep going?
Is it just about that area?
What?
Does it get back to the anything about the hurricane and what's going on there?
Sure.
It does? Okay. Yeah.
Race has always been the undercurrent of Louisiana politics. This disaster is one that was constructed out of racism, neglect, and incompetence. Hurricane Katrina was the inevitable spark igniting the gasoline of cruelty and corruption. From neighborhoods left most at risk, to the treatment of the refugees, to the media portrayal of the victims, this disaster is shaped by race. Louisiana politics is famously corrupt, but with the tragedies of this week, our political leaders have defined a new level of incompetence. As Hurricane Katrina approached, our governor urged us to pray the hurricane down to a level 2. Trapped in a building 2 days after the hurricane, we tuned our battery-operated radio into local radio and TV stations, hoping for vital news, and we were told that our governor has called for a day of prayer. As rumors and panic began to rule, there was no source of solid, dependable information. Tuesday night, politicians and reporters said that the water level would rise another 12 feet. Instead, it stabilized. Rumors spread like wildfire, and the politicians and media only made it worse. While the rich escaped New Orleans, and those with nowhere to go and no way to get there were left behind. Adding salt to the wound, the local and national media have spent the last week demonizing those left behind. As someone that loves New Orleans and the people in it, this is the part of this tragedy that hurts me the most, and it hurts me deeply. No sane person should classify someone who takes food from indefinitely closed stores in a desperate, starving city as a looter. But that's just what the media did, and did over and over again. Sheriffs and politicians talked of having troops protect stores instead of perform rescue operations. Images of New Orleans' hurricane-ravaged population were transformed into black, out-of-control criminals, as if taking a stereo from a store that will clearly be insured against loss and is a greater crime than the governmental neglect and incompetence that did billions of dollars of damage and destroyed a city. This media focus is a tactic, just as the 80s focused on queens and super predators obscured the simultaneous and much larger crimes of the savings and loan scams and mass layoffs. The hyper-exploited people of New Orleans are being used as a scapegoat to cover up a much larger crimes. City, state, and national politicians are the real criminals here. Since at least the mid-1800s, it's been widely known the danger faced by flooding to New Orleans. The flood of 1927, which, like this week's events, was more about politics and racism than any kind of natural disaster, illustrated exactly the danger faced. Yet, government officials have consistently refused to spend the money to protect this poor, overwhelmingly black city. While FEMA and others warned of the urgent impending danger to New Orleans and put forward proposals for funding to reinforce and protect the city, the Bush administration, every year since 2001, has cut or refused to fund New Orleans flood control, ignored scientists' warnings of increased hurricanes as a result of global warming. Warming. And it's so hot in here, I can't even say warming. And as with the dangers rose with the flood lines, the lack of coordinated response dramatized vividly the callous disregard of our elected leaders. The aftermath from the 1927 flood helped shape the elections of both a U.S. president and a governor, and ushered in the Southern populist politics of Huey Long.
How much longer is this?
here it is.
Oh, okay. It's almost there. Okay.
In the
coming months, billions of dollars will likely flood into New Orleans. This money can either be spent to usher in a new deal for the city with public investment, creation of stable union jobs, new schools, cultural programs, and housing restoration, or the city can be rebuilt and revitalized to a shell of its former self, with newer hotels, more casinos, and with chain stores and theme parks replacing the former neighborhood's cultural centers and corner jazz clubs. Long before Katrina, New Orleans was hit by a hurricane of poverty, racism, disinvestment, deindustrialization, and corruption. Simply, the damage from this pre-Katrina hurricane will take billions to repair. Now that the money is flowing in and the world's eyes are focused on Katrina, it's vital that progressive-minded people take this opportunity to fight for rebuilding with justice. New Orleans is a special place, and we need to fight for its rebirth. Thank you.
Yay!
So that was written...
Clap, clap, clap.
I'm sorry if that was so long. That was written by Jordan Flaherty, and he is a reporter for Left Turn magazine.
Okay.
So I hope you all enjoyed that. And we have another statement. I don't know if you saw that email.
Yeah, I actually have it pulled up.
Okay, you might want to read that as well.
I'm going to read that in a little bit, so just don't overwhelm people.
Okay.
I wanted to get to... I don't want to ignore the, what that highlighted, but I did want to, before I forget, let Adam in Dallas... was letting me know that, let's see, where is it, that they're taking in, obviously, people in Houston, but they're also taking people in Dallas, and he says they are packing them into Reunion Arena and the Dallas Convention Center, and then, let's see, he thinks about 10,000 people are going to be in Dallas, and then I asked another person in Maui in Michigan, and he said that they're trying to get people to come there, but in his opinion, it's like taking people from one bombed out city to another bombed out city. So I don't know. To me, it almost seems like a publicity thing now. Hey, look, we'll take people. We're caring. You know, a way to, like, you know, I don't know, bring in more consumers, or, you know, bring more people into, you know, that could be taxed. I don't know, or just a show so that it's like, look at me. We're good people too. You know.
Well, I think people do want to help.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think Tom Potter, who's our mayor, who is setting this whole thing up to take 1,000 people in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I want to believe that he's... I want to believe that he's doing this, you know, with the right intentions. The problem is that his intentions or his, you know, power to set these things up could potentially get co-opted. And, I mean, who knows where it's going to turn. Now, in terms of, like, you know, bringing in more consumers or tax dollars, I don't know, Arturo. I don't think these people are coming with a ton of money. They could, however, like we were talking about earlier, get relief money and set up camp here. But I don't think that their initial first couple of weeks, like, they're going to be coming to Portland and spending lots of money.
Well, no, I know, but I'm just, I didn't mean it like that, but I meant, like, in other words, well, I don't know what I meant, but but I mean, I imagine that even if you take people in, there's probably some kind of like money that you
funding.
Can apply. Yeah, you could apply for federally that, you know, you could use for whatever the fuck you want, you know.
Right, and I think like Red Cross will probably be getting tons of money for setting up shop and doing everything that they're doing from the federal government.
So, Andre, I'm sorry, we've been talking and reading and talking.
Oh, it's fine. I'm just listening, kind of engulfing.
Yeah. Do you have any opinion on at least what Trashina was reading?
Yeah, that was an extremely good article, and it brings up a lot of very important points. But and I think you're right, Arturo, in saying that it's somewhat of a hospitality issue.
Yeah.
Like a lot of cities are just kind of being like, we're nice, just come here. But I was thinking a couple days ago about all of the old POW camps that were used in World War II to house Germans in, like, the middle of Texas. And, like, those things are huge. And couldn't you just put people there instead of bussing them off to cities 600, 700 miles away?
Well,
it might not be the best of settings, but if you just work at it, like, for a week or so, you could probably have those things up to ship shape, quote unquote. But I think that would be a better idea than shipping them off to Michigan or Washington State or New York or wherever, and it would be more in the same area, so you'd be able to contact your families easier. But that's just what I've been thinking.
Well, yeah, I agree. I don't know why we need to, like, disperse people throughout the United States. I mean, it splits people up farther than there already are. I mean, so many people cannot find the family their family members or, you know, whatever. And now it makes the task of, you know, okay, well, here's a list of cities that they could be in. I mean, there's the potential here that some people will not be able to find their relatives or loved ones for a serious amount of time, you know, a long period of time. But, in response to, you know, opening up used camps that they used, I think... hold on. You might want to turn those off, too, because those are like heat lamps.
I'm dimming the lights in the studio.
Yeah, and those are just producing a lot of heat. Anyway, sorry. I think that they probably don't want to let people know that they have these camps still and are, you know, that they're ready to go at any time. Because I'm sure they're still out there and ready to use just in case there's a big uprising and they need to, you know, enslave half of the... enslave or imprison half of the population in the United States. Well, maybe the population, but, you know, just a portion of the population, because I think that they do have camps out there just in case, you know, there was ever mass hysteria throughout the nation and they needed to, you know, regain order by imprisoning, you know, large amounts of people. You know, I've read stuff to where that these places do exist in many, you know, states. So, I agree that, you know, it would be nice to see if that we could use such, you know, use them. But I don't think that anyone is willing to acknowledge the fact that they do exist.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's like, hey, look, we've got these, you know, what is it, concentration camps here in our own country.
Well, the school that the that is being set up to house the victims of the hurricane can only house about 500. So they were saying that they're looking for another facility to house another 500. Sheriff of the state, Bernie, I'm going to say his last name wrong, Juisto, is offering up a county jail that's never opened up to house 500 additional people. And apparently the jail facility, which has never been used, can go up to 2,000 people. And I think this facility is out in, like, a rural part of the state, not like in the city area. So I don't know. I mean, personally, I guess if I'm in a desperate, I don't know what to make of that. But the city is not. I don't know if the city's considering this jail.
Well, you know, I think it comes back to this. I mean, I was just instant messaging with Adam, and he was saying it's funny how Dallas can totally ignore the homeless and go out there, go out of their way to help other homeless. And that's the big issue here, is that there's people in all of these states that
are taking in people that have homeless people, you know, and they've miraculously have these, you know, big, you know, places to house all these people, even convention centers and everything, but they will not use them for the same people that are, you know, under the same conditions in, you know, in their own state.
Right, that's exactly what we were saying earlier. Like, you know, we have this abandoned school a few blocks away from the studio. Apparently the city's been trying to sell this historic building, but they can't. And all of a sudden it could be turned into a facility to house individuals, and why this was never done to house Portland's homeless, which we have a lot of people that are homeless. I don't know.
Really quickly, we're going to check a mic to see if it works. Reptile just walked into the studio. Do you want to speak or mumble or groan? Or? Okay, so we got some mic somewhere. It seems to be working. Can you actually say something to see if Andre can hear you? He's on the phone, so.
Hello, Andre.
Did you hear that at all, Andre?
Yep.
You heard him?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Okay, let's find out what mic real quick. Hey, Reptile. Speak, Reptile. Speak, Reptile.
Hello.
Okay, one more time.
What's up, Arturo?
Okay, I narrowed down the mic now, so now I'm going to mess with
the buttons.
Okay, now say something.
Hi.
Now, did you hear that, Andre?
Barely.
Barely, okay. Okay, well, just, Reptile, when you speak loud, okay? that's the capacity of the electronics tonight.
You're fired.
Okay, I am fired, but...
No, it was the same after the earthquake in California in 1989. They set up special social services for the new homeless that were not available to the people who had already been homeless before the earthquake.
It's so reactionary. It makes me crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, does anyone else see the hypocrisy, you know? Does anyone see it, you know? I don't know.
Well, I'm going
well,
to...
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I think it's the fact that just the homeless situation has been around for so long, just the regular homeless, then all of a sudden this big thing hits and people are like, wow, they're more homeless than we already thought. We should probably help them out, but they're only helping out the initial homeless because I guess people as a whole feel worse for people who have had their houses and homes and lives destroyed and a disaster than people who have just been down on their luck and are now homeless.
It's
I don't know, that's probably
solidarity.
Just how I take it.
Capitalism
yeah.
is a disaster. Hello? I mean, I don't know. A homeless person is a homeless person. A dead person is a dead person. I don't understand why we make that distinction. Sorry. I'm pissed. I'm crazy.
Because when middle-class people become aware of large numbers of other middle-class people suddenly being thrown to the bottom of the ladder of society, it makes them feel insecure about their own positions in a way that the normal homelessness does not.
Okay. I don't buy that. Should I?
What, that middle-class people care about each other and not poor people?
Okay. No. from what I understand, the people who are displaced in New Orleans are poor.
They're not as poor as homeless people are. Oh. I mean, they are now. There's many layers of poverty.
Okay.
It's part of the divide and conquer strategy as well.
Well, okay, so here's the question then that I'm going to ask everyone, anyone that's listening, that's IMing, anyone that's in the studio, and to Andre. Does anyone think that this was engineered from a standpoint to get rid of the poor people or, the African Americans, to just like, if we just turn our head for a little bit, maybe we could kill some of them, just really, no one will notice and a lot of them will die, something to that order. Does anyone believe that could have been engineered or even, knowingly was going to happen and that they were going to knowingly turn their head?
I think
that something like that. Go.
Oh, I was going to say.
Continue. Oh, sorry.
Probably there would be a faster reaction to a disaster in Houston than to New Orleans.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that do you think that like for the president, for example, do you think that he was just like, oh, whatever?
I don't know. I mean, maybe the guy's on drugs again.
Yeah.
I mean, the establishment is really just, it's the total, naked emperor story. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that Bush is just retarded.
Now, what were you going to say, Andre?
Oh, yeah, well, I was just going to say that it sounds like that could have been what happened. Just people didn't pay any attention to the homeless when something like this happened. But I would probably put my money on it, but not wholeheartedly. I think that something like that could have happened in many different ways and not just in a natural disaster thing. But I agree with the fact that the middle class just feels bad for the middle class. Like, I've talked to homeless people that are out in the streets of my town, and most of them have, graduated college and everything. They've just have extremely bad luck and no one cares about them. But then when a big hurricane, or we don't get hurricanes up in the Northeast, but when something bad happens, that's when people pay attention to the victims and not the initial group of people that have just always been there.
Yeah, when there's a newsworthy story that highlights them, they pay attention to them for a week and then
yeah.
It's easier for the powers, it's an easier story to sell the public that ordinary homeless people are responsible for their own misfortune than to say, I don't know, it's difficult to construct any kind of excuse for the naked discrimination, but one attempt to construct an excuse is to say that Joe homeless guy living under the bridge is the architect of his own misery, whereas the people who choose to live below sea level in New Orleans are not.
Right, and that was a point that someone was making on Instant Message, that the person who's homeless, it's their fault. The person who's homeless because of a natural disaster, oh, they, not their fault.
Right.
And, it's fucked up. I mean, like I said, homeless is homeless is homeless. Hungry is hungry is hungry. Mm-hmm. Like, a child born into a family that is poor and becomes homeless, are we not going to help the young person? Because, they didn't construct that reality for themselves.
Maui in Michigan thinks that they allowed it to happen, and I want to say that I think that it's just easier for what all the reasons that were brought up, that it's easier just to forget, and I think that I kind of really don't know. But I want to say that the people, regardless, the people that have the powers, whether they, deserve them or not, the people that have the powers, there was this feeling that they didn't, you know, they just didn't, you know, consciously think about it and prepare for it in the regard that if it was like a rich area, a very, and there was a lot of white people there, that, you know, bam, they would have been on that. You know that. I mean, everyone knows that. It's just how much, how blatant were they about, you know, believing what they believe.
Well, what I mean, do we recall what the reaction was like to the September 11th?
What's that? No, I'm just kidding. It just seems like that. That's the, we've actually found something in this country to overshadow September 11th to a certain extent, you know?
Except it happened to poor people, Arturo.
Yeah, that's true.
September 11th happened to the most wealthy point of the world.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying that, you know, people are even, you know, I've heard that over and over again. This right. is, like, worse than September 11th, so...
They can't use this as an excuse for a war over oil in the Middle
That's
East.
True.
You heard that on the news, that people are saying this is worse than September 11th?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, it's pretty clear more people died.
Yeah.
It was a pretty serious disaster.
Anyway.
To be honest with you, I don't know how many people have died.
Well, no, I know. From what I can gather, there's a lot of instances. It is true. It's they're using the shock value right now on the news, that they're like, well, the mayor says that possibly thousands have died. You know, it's like, what does the fucking mayor know that we don't? You know, I mean, obviously he knows. He does know more, but if he knows so much more, then what is he basing that on? Instead of, you know, he is just saying with no backup, and they're just using the fact that thousands of people have died, you know. But there seems to be a lot of scenarios taking place that, you know, yes, that there are elderly that weren't properly taken care of and that were sitting in their houses. And so when the floods came, you know, I can see, you know, a lot of other people climbing, you know, up into the attic and then maybe busting out the roof so they can get on the roof. But, you know, I don't see, you know, a lot of elderly people being able to do that. So I think there has been a lot of people stuck in their homes. Then when it comes to these convergence spaces like the convention center and the Superdome, you know, they were neglected. They didn't, you know, people didn't have insulin. People didn't have, you know, their supplies, and they're just blatantly showing them on the news, sitting in their wheelchairs with a sheet over their head because they just died, and you know, no one was taking care of them.
Yeah, totally.
It's the question of how many people died from the tragedy, and how many people died from neglect. You know,
is there clean? I mean, I vaguely remember reading that. There's a shortage of clean water in New Orleans right now, like the taps aren't working or something.
Yeah,
there is no running water.
Yeah there's no right. water, there's no electricity, there's no, you know,
so
anything.
Either you drink briny slime from the sewer of America, the Mississippi River, at the end of the Mississippi River, all the entire Midwest is shitting in that river, and now you're drinking it, or the other option is you dehydrate and die in about 2 days.
Exactly, and that's the other thing, because people have been neglected. You know, there's no resources for them. You know, we don't want to focus on the fact that you know. Well, the news doesn't seem to want to focus on the fact of the looting standpoint for the sake of survival. They want to focus on the fact that, you know, people are out there stealing DVD players. Like, you know, I'd like to see the percentage of that. How many people are out there stealing DVD players when they show tens of thousands of people starving and, you know, not being able to drink water at the convention center in the Superdome, you know? They're leaving and going to find food sometimes. They're not going over there like, I'm dying, I want a DVD player.
And there's no electricity even. It's just the mindlessness of television, really. It's some guy running out of a store with a DVD player under his arm is a good television image, whereas somebody dying of dehydration in a wheelchair is not.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that was interesting...
It's like the whole world is just one long episode of Cops.
That's true. I wonder if they will make a Cops episode out of this.
That would be pretty interesting.
It would, but it would be sad at the same time.
Okay, I have to say, I don't watch TV now.
Yeah.
But in the past, when I might occasionally watch TV...
Oh, I've seen you watch TV. To anyone out there, she's so lying right now.
Okay, hang on. Cops loves New Orleans.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. I mean, I don't mean cops like Cops in general, like Cops the TV show. They love going to New Orleans. They love busting women that are flashing their breasts and doing the whole thing. Where are they going to go now?
I know. I don't know. They'll have to rename the show like Cops Dealing with the Homeless or something like that.
I don't know. What's the next craziest place after New Orleans? Miami? I don't know.
New York City?
I don't know. Miami, I think, is...
Las Vegas.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
Hey, can I... I'm getting ready to dispel some Vegas myths right now. I spent a little bit of time in Vegas for work, and it completely... absolutely sucks. If you can avoid going to Vegas, by all means, do what you need to do. Do not go to Vegas. Vegas is the worst place in the world. Okay, not in the world, in the U.S. for any anarchist anti-capitalist. It really is.
Nah.
However, the average age of a Vegas visitor is not 20. Mm-hmm. It's 50. You're not going to get, like, I mean, there are young women and young men that go to Vegas and they're doing crazy things, but the majority of the visitors to Vegas are seniors.
Right. Young people go to Vegas once and then it's out of their system, but seniors go back over and over again.
We have a chime in from Michigan for Vegas, so. I actually wouldn't vote for Vegas being the craziest place. I would think Miami, something like that, where there's, I don't know, just the heat, the, you know, the sensuality of less clothing.
Right, right.
The, you know...
I've never been there, but it just seems like it would be that kind of place.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a port for, like, you know, a lot of, you know, well, at least Miami Vice seemed to say that there was a lot of drugs coming in.
Right. Someone on Instant Message is voting for SF San Francisco.
San Francisco is very bizarre, but it has, I don't know if it would be a good Cops episode, because the bizarreness is so pervasive that, you know, it's not even a crime. Like, there's not the kind of crackdown on it that you would have in a more conflicted kind of place.
That's true. I was surprised. I was in San Francisco, I forgot what for, but I'd never done this, and I was with some people that wanted to, like, hit the bars and stuff like that, so we went out and did that, and it was fucking nuts. I could not believe it. It was crazy.
What was the crazy thing?
Well, there was people just going around. There was all of a sudden the fight broke out and people are smashing bottles. So
where was this?
This is San Francisco.
But what neighborhood?
Oh God. It was downtown, but it was like, no, it had to be I want to say like
over, South of Market.
I don't know. Where's the was it Pacific Beach or something? The part of town, the Italian part of town, or
Italian, North Beach.
North Beach. Right. That part of town where, yeah, it's got the cool, like, hip bars and stuff like that. I think it was there. Anyway, but, anyway, so these one...
I think every neighborhood in San Francisco is dripping with hip everything.
Yeah.
It's yes.
But this was funny because... this fight broke out, and I know I'm getting way off subject here, but... And I mean,
are we supposed to talk about the same thing over and over again all night?
No, but...
Good.
Literally, somebody, you know, threw some punches, and there was cop cars there. Like, there was somebody in the crowd that was, like, you know, monitoring the situation, because I'm serious. Like, it was a split second, and they were there. So anyway, this guy went to go get some friends and came back, and evidently, like, I think this was happening at the same time that the kind of the fists were flying, and they came by and, like, threw open this van door and, like, you know, showed a weapon. They didn't use it, but they showed a weapon, and that's when the, you know, the cops showed up, and it was just nuts. There was, like I said, people throwing bottles and everything. I didn't anticipate. Hmm. I don't think it was even anything special going on, but I wouldn't have thought that San Francisco was all that crazy. But
Adam from Dallas is voting for L.A.
Yeah, I would have to vote. I'm saying L.A. myself.
L.A. is definitely.
Yeah, L.A. would make a lot of sense.
No shortage of madness in Los Angeles.
So is it pretty maddening in Massachusetts, Andre?
Not. I've been chased by the cops a couple times, I'll admit it, but not for running around drunk with my shirt off like they do on cops, but for throwing punches at people. But
well, you got some time. You can work on that.
Oh yeah, I'll perfect it.
So
that's the town up from us, the extreme hick town, Savoy. That's the one where people ride their goats around with their shirts off, getting wasted on Jack Daniel's. That's Savoy.
Right. Now, maybe the cops people just don't know about that town.
I think we should bring a cops crew up northeast. I think that would be great.
We should do like...
Oh, there's a man with his shirt off running around.
A cop pulling up in the car using his loudspeaker, the speaker. You, on the goat, pull over.
I think that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Do you know why I pulled you over? Your goat, yeah, license is out of date.
One of your goat's tail lights is out.
We have this one guy in town who all night long from, I think it's like 7 in the evening till like 4 in the morning, just walks around our main street dribbling a basketball and freestyle rapping to beats he has on a CD. And he does it every single day. And it's great because I've sat next to him on benches and stuff like that, and he's just been sitting there rapping, and it's the greatest thing in the world. We have a couple weird people, but no one's... Like, we just got a couple drug dealers busted, but we haven't had anything serious go down in a while. Oh, wait, no, we had a shooting back in...
Sorry.
Oh yeah. Our quaint suburban town had a shooting. It was pretty funny. We were all stuck in school for an extra couple hours.
Oh wow.
I was mad because I missed Boy Meets World, but it annoyed us.
Do you have are you outside of a big city in Massachusetts or
not,
like Boston or
not really? I think the closest thing that's really on the map is Pittsfield, but even that's not big. We're like an hour and a half from Albany, New York, but we're basically in the middle of nowhere. We're as close to nowhere as you'll get before hitting like Mars, but it has its good points and it has its bad points. It's quiet, but then it's quiet and it's boring and there's nothing to do. But it works for just a simple growing up town. I wish I lived in a city, though. I want to move out to with my dad. My dad lives out in San Diego.
Oh, that's where
I'd much rather live out there.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. It's
really?
Yeah, it's very
different from Massachusetts.
Yeah, and that's just to give you a heads up. That's why I moved up here.
Well, I'm planning, as of now, I'm planning on going to UC Berkeley. And I've been in contact with people there, and my dad's like, you have to go to Berkeley. I'm like, okay, whatever, Dad. But I'm planning on moving out to the West Coast as soon as I possibly can.
Yeah, well, I at least, you know, suggest seeing, you know, as much as you can, but there's a lot of, you know, cool places out there that don't necessarily have to do with, you know, I don't know, the hype.
You know San Diego You know, San Diego and Berkeley are about 400 or 500 miles apart, right?
Oh, really?
Yes. California is very large.
Yeah, yeah. Berkeley's in the San Francisco area, and San Diego's like almost in Mexico.
Yeah, I've been there a couple times. It's, I went to Tijuana once. That was the most horrifying experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
I had some guy dragging on me. He was like grabbing me, telling my dad to take a taxi, and I was just like, wow.
Yeah, you talk about ignoring poverty. There's a, you know, a great example of everyone, crosses the border to buy like nice little trinkets and eat, you know, lobster and drink all night. And
it seems like there's a lot of pharmacies and dentists.
Yeah,
Is, you know, I guess sure, you know, if you can get dental work done cheap, why not?
We have somebody that's instant messaging in that says, is suggesting to you to avoid Southern California.
Oh, okay.
So, although I wouldn't, you know, wholeheartedly say avoid it, but I would also agree that, you know, there's better things to see.
Yeah, probably.
The nice thing about California is the ocean. Like, if you can get right down on the beach, it's pretty cool. If you're out in the interior, it's
hot. A pain
like,
in the ass.
It's like the interior of California is like West Texas, you know.
Yeah, it's maybe a little more lush.
It depends on where you are.
Yeah, well, that's true. There's a lot of desert there.
I mean, the Southern California would be all desert except for human intervention. No, really.
No, I know. I lived down there. I knew that we were stealing everyone's water.
There's not a single drop of the Colorado River that reaches the ocean. All of it gets used.
Oh, it's 10:35. I'm just making a little check of time here. Yeah, and it's sweltering in here too. So, I might just take a small music break to figure out what's going on. Wipe my brow off really quick and. But hold on, I'll try not to hang up on you, Andre. But I'm gonna play a song really quickly, and then we'll come back in just a second, okay? So you're listening to the Arturo Commando Show on Portland Indie Media Web Radio. This is Arturo Commando. We're in the studio tonight with Trashina, which it's been a while since Trashina's been here.
Yeah, that's not true.
Well, on my show.
No, I was on your show when you were talking about tunnels.
Well, that's been a while.
It was like, that was like two shows ago.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, and Reptile. It's been a while for Reptile. Are you going to argue with me too about that?
No.
And we've got Andre on the line from Massachusetts, I'm sorry.
but okay.
We're going to play a song, and we'll be right back. Now I just got to quickly come up with a song. Oh, okay, well, perfect.
I want to put a shout-out there.
Yeah.
I love Multnomah County Library.
Why is that?
They got a lot of CDs. A lot of music.
Not my branch.
No. You know, like, I actually work near one. I live near one. Between the two places, I'm, like, cool now. I'm listening to a lot of different kinds of music out there.
Okay, we're going to listen to a song. And
I love you, library.
We'll be back with some other shout-outs. I just lost the song that I was looking for, but we're on top of it here at Portland. Oh, no, at least on the Arturo Commando Show. I won't bring anyone else into my downfall. Okay, we're going to hear some Clash. I think everyone will be up for that. I'm going to listen to Spanish Bombs. And then we'll be right back. Arturo Commando Show, Portland Enemy Web Radio. Don't go anywhere, Andre. And,
okay.
And no one else. Okay, bye. I mean, hold on. Here we go. Oh, wait. I didn't plug my computer in. Hold on. Oh, man. I do this all the time. This is like... it's almost comedy for me. Okay, here we go. Wait, hold on. Here we go.
I don't have any, like, real fading on my computer to fade into things very good. I have to share something that I thought was pretty funny. It has nothing to do with anything, but when we were talking about the craziness of Florida, Maui said, go ahead, say it. It's the Cubans. It's about Cuba and Miami. And they said, I laughed and I said, are you Cuban? Just to see if that's where it was taking some offense to that. And he said, no, I don't really have any right to say that, but I have a Cuba t-shirt. I thought that was funny. So I guess that denotes a nationality these days, isn't it? If you have a t-shirt from the area. Let's see. Are you still there, Andre?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I forgot to turn your channel up. Sorry. It was neglect.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I knew you were on the radio. I knew that it was going to be rough, and I didn't plan out the response afterwards to turning up your channel. Okay, that was a bad joke, not turning out too well. So, I wanted to briefly bring up something that, bring up at least a new area of discussion that Adam from Dallas brought up, the fact that, you know, this whole disaster in New Orleans was maybe the, you know, what we have, you know, obviously this is the sarcasm coming in here, what we have to look forward to, you know, because of global warming, you know. And I just wanted to know what other people thought about that. Just like kind of like a new, you know, the hurricane seasons have been getting stronger and stronger, and this, you know, could be the beginning of, like, just horrible storms all the time when, you know, hurricane season or other, you know, storms come about. And then obviously other areas of that the climate can affect the planet. But I don't know. What did does anyone have any response to that? Okay, I guess not.
Well, here are my thoughts.
Okay.
I live in Portland.
That's true.
I don't care.
How bougie of you.
Well, you know what? I bet you a lot of people have that attitude.
Well, that's true. I mean, I'll have to admit, now, this was a kind of a joke, but I thought, well, you know, Southern California sucks, and I'm moving up to Portland, but I'm like, you know, one of the coolest parts of Southern California is the weather. So I'm like, well, you know, if things get really bad and the climate changes, it'll just get hotter in Southern California, and then the weather in Portland will just be like Southern California. So it's a good move. But no, I mean, yeah, I think that...
then all the trees will die.
That's true. I'm not for that.
If they don't get cut down first. I mean...
Ooh, touche.
Really, like, we're really digging our own grave.
Yeah. And no, well, that's the thing. I guess that's what you were saying, is no one cares, you know?
I mean, we're living it's like a death spiral, you know? Like people don't know that driving a car is not good for the environment. People know that, but they don't...
Since when did this come out? I'm just kidding.
Is this the first you're hearing about it?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, wearing clothes is bad for the environment, too.
You're sly. Man.
Adam says bathing is reactionary.
Yeah, that's true. We need to cut back on that because that's leading to using up all the clean water. Well, no, but I mean, like, what are we going to do? Does anyone have the feeling that we can recover from this at all? Not talking about this hurricane, but recover from this downward spiral, as Trashina, put it. I mean, like, Andre, like, I mean, do you... I mean, you're in a different environment, not totally. I mean, you're still in the United States, but you're on the East Coast and out in the middle of nowhere, as you put it. But, I mean, do you see anyone recognizing that where you're from, that we're in this downward spiral, that, you know, this hurricane is a part of maybe global warming? Do you see that at all? Or?
Well, I have noticed the quote-unquote downward spiral, and it's very evident, but no one really in this, especially in this area, cares. It's basically like, I'm going to go drive my Hummer as much as humanly possible and not care if gas gets up to $4 a gallon and I emit deadly amounts of pollutants and stuff like that. It's basically a feel-good environment where we feel up here that nothing can harm us, because that's just always how it's been.
So is there a lot of, like, trees? Are you in a forest? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I walk right out on my porch, and I see the tallest mountain in Massachusetts, which isn't really a mountain, it's a hill. But yeah, it's not technically a mountain, it's still a hill, but it's the tallest peak in Massachusetts.
Wow.
But we basically live in one big forest.
So do you get the do you get the reaction from people then that since you see, like, they see trees all the time and see the, you know, see this scenery, that there's plenty, you know, we're fine, we don't need to worry about
that's basically what it is.
Oh wow.
It's like it's a complete mind-blowing experience. Like the first time I went out to San Diego, and I went out and my dad was like, yeah, 2 months ago this was a bunch of trees and it was just like desolate wasteland. And I was just like, wow, that's really weird. And then we went up to like Sequoia and stuff, and that was just completely different than Southern California, and I don't understand how those two different areas can be in the same place.
Well, yeah, it's a gigantic state, actually, so.
Yeah. But,
I think the original...
no one really cares up here. It's a very apathetic area. It's kind of weird, and I'm ashamed to say it, but no one does care up here.
Yeah. Reptile, what were you going to say?
Oh, I think the original California territory included Baja, Nevada, and Utah as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, California seems to be pretty diverse with its, what is it, climate zones or...
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't, I'd like to see that, you know, as things come spiraling down, that maybe all it would take was, you know, I try to be as optimistic as possible sometimes.
You're not sounding very optimistic right now.
Well, I'm trying.
You're trying to get us to confirm your feeling that everything's going to hell.
Well, okay, maybe it does sound like that, but all I'm saying is I'm looking for a discussion here, whether it's like, you know, what is the future then, you know? You know, make like a fortune teller and tell me what's up. Just for the sake of, you know, I mean, I'd like to hear some predictions, if not, you know, if at least for comedy relief, you know. I mean, it's interesting because things have, you know, have changed to me in just like, I mean, I've known about, you know, obviously seen these problems arising, but it just seems like just amazingly apparent within the last year that, you know, there's big problems as far as, you know, our, you know, global warming and everything. But, you know, when will people wake up? When there's, you know, nothing left?
Probably.
Well, Mike Rupert predicts. I have my own problems with Mike Rupert. But he is, has the website From the Wilderness, I think, and he's an ex-LAPD cop. But anyway, he predicts the start of a decline, an economic decline in the U.S. starting the third quarter of the 2005, which we're actually leaving the third quarter and entering the fourth quarter. But he predicts that in 2006 we will be in a full-on Great Depression.
For the rest of time?
Huh?
For the rest of time?
He doesn't say for how long.
Hmm.
But he predicts a full-on Great Depression due to a depletion of natural resources.
Now, is this globally or just the United States?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because the U.S., because of our current economic system, we don't, you know, exist in a bubble.
Yeah.
Right? Because some people will predict that if the U.S. were to go into an economic decline, China will follow 6 months right behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of their economy, like the two economies, the U.S. and China, are tied together. They're linked.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that. Now, does anyone think that... does anyone think heading into a, you know, major depression would be a good thing, or that, you know, it might change things?
I mean, because, okay, as morbid as I might be, and I don't wish harm upon people, I must think that it would be a good thing. Is that wrong?
Until the food starts running out?
Yeah, until it affects me, of course, but I'm just kidding.
I mean, if they're making fertilizer out of petroleum products, I mean, what that really means is they're turning oil into food. Like, if the oil runs out, the food production drops.
Yeah.
So we had GDM staying with us for a week?
Yeah, can you... Like, no one knows who GDM is.
Oh, okay. He is someone, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but basically he's an indie media activist.
Operative? I'm just kidding.
But he's also a health professional. So I asked him, how long can the human body go on just bread and water? And when I say bread, I don't mean literally bread. I mean bread like starchy carbohydrates that have little to no nutritional value, like bread, white rice, like pasta kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not get a straight answer out of him. Because he doesn't know. You know, he's kind of like, well, you can go probably a couple of days without water. You might go a couple of weeks without food. I'm like, well, what about, like, just straight up, just processed junk? And he couldn't tell me a time frame, but he was like, well, you know, you'd start to be more susceptible to diseases and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that people live that life already. What are you
talking about? Oh, I
know! It's an experiment walking out the door and looking at these people, you
know? And I said that, I sort of implied that, like, you know, a lot of people don't eat fresh fruits and vegetables. So, you know, how long can, I mean, the body will adapt, right, to a junk diet.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think the one of the best experiments done with that was that movie Supersize Me, you know? I mean,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, he just starts, you know, eating nothing but McDonald's, which... Pretty much. Have you seen that reptile?
No.
Oh,
it's great.
You have
it
to see that.
Yeah, it's good.
Doesn't sound like the feel-good movie of the year.
You know what?
It's funny.
It's funny.
I think you would like it. I think you could probably... Well, somebody could probably download it.
Maybe I don't want to think about my own diet too much, Arturo.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's just a... Anyway, but... you know, his body goes into, like, you know, a state of, like, you know, I don't know. It's like an emergency. It shuts down, you know, kind of, you know. And the doctors are just overwhelmed by, you know, what happens to his body from just... purely eating, you know, junk food, that they are just shocked. And they even go to the point where they're just like, stop this experiment. Don't do this any longer. You're going to, you know, wreck your body. You're going to kill yourself. You know, they fall a little bit short of that, but they basically say that, you know, you're going to cause permanent damage to your organs. And maybe that's, you know, a little bit, you know, drastic, because he was in shape and eating good, and then all of a sudden, this sudden switch would probably put any shock into, even if you take somebody that eats junk food all the time and make them, you know, eat perfectly well, I'm sure their body would be like, the doctor might say the same thing, no, you need to turn around, you need to stop eating good, you're putting your body into the area where it could cause permanent damage, you know.
But which organs did they think were going to fail first?
The liver.
Oh.
Yeah. I think the kidney was up there, too.
Yeah.
Kidneys
and liver, like the filters of, you know, the body. So
you can always get another liver or kidney from someone else.
That's true. It's just, you know, finding volunteers. So what were we talking about?
We're talking about the hurricane. Emergency. So the reason why I had asked the person staying with us, how long can the body survive on just pure junk, just crap, was because, you know, of course, I'm thinking about the end times, which is why I'm like Oh, yes. Reptile's giving me this look like, what are you talking about?
Fucking like Portland, man.
The biblical end times or just no. the activist end times?
Okay, maybe...
Martial law is going to start next week.
Okay, maybe the term end times is kind of harsh. Okay, let me backtrack. So I'm thinking about stockpiling emergency. Because...
Have you become a Mormon?
What, just emergency?
Yeah, no, we don't need any other food.
Mm.
You and your dad. And me. And you too, if you happen to be in the neighborhood. We don't need anything else. Water and emergency.
Well, that's the thing. Here's my prediction, is that if we head into rough times, the biggest commodity, the thing that's going to be like the next oil is going to be water, you know? That's going to be the one that is... and, you know, maybe you and I can...
Except that is a renewable resource, Arturo. It's not destroyed in your body. It all flows. But then there's a lot of water in the ocean. We're not like...
Well, I know, but still, soon. It's... I'm saying, okay, yeah, maybe on the fact that it's not like something that will run out. But it's most definitely, if you use up a lot of the fresh water, it very easily becomes a very expensive thing to acquire, you know?
I suppose. On the other hand, Oregon has a better supply of fresh water than almost anywhere in the world.
Well, I know. And I'm not saying
except just... Except that it's all polluted.
Yeah. I'm not saying just, you know, in Portland. In fact, you know, I think we have it pretty good up here.
They could stop polluting at any time.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. But I just think that would be something to where all of a sudden... They privatize a lot of water, and this is a big issue in, you know, a lot of other countries, is that they're trying to privatize water. Next thing you know, corporations have some, you know, control of the water, and it's something that you have to pay heavily for, you know?
Yeah, but people won't put up with that.
Well, you would think...
People already are paying for water. Like, how many people are buying bottled water?
Well, I don't, but yeah, I mean, I know what you mean, though.
And
you know,
we were having this exact conversation last night, like, you know, if... You mean water basically is something that's free, and clean water comes, you know, out of our municipalities, and it's processed by the government, you know, to bring us quote unquote clean water sources. Correct. Essentially, people who are buying water they've essentially lost faith in the government and the environment to provide a basic necessity.
Yeah, it's true. Because people don't even expect that from they expect to pay high water bills and stuff, and, you know, that, you know, don't drink out of the tap.
Is this just going to be like the new class of homeless people, people who can't afford water, so they're just dehydrating?
Yeah, I think so.
that's kind of hard to believe.
Probably.
They'll just have to drink Kool-Aid or something. I don't know. I just think that, you know, to me it seems like that, you know, we could be heading into rougher times. I think
we're more likely to run low on food than water anytime soon, certainly in Oregon.
I don't know. I disagree, but, you know.
Hey, Andre?
Yeah?
I'm sort of singling you out because you're, you know, younger than the rest of us. But do you or your friends or your family ever talk about, like, a possible recession, depression, or a run out on natural resources?
Not formally. It's, like, just been talked about, like, in passing, but, like, as of now, we're paying, especially for Northeast winters, we're getting ready to pay huge gas bills, but, no, we really haven't talked about just anything, just running out of resources. I do agree a lot of the stuff you've been saying, like, about water, and how eventually it's going to become a hot commodity, but selling it on eBay or something. But we haven't really gotten that deep into it yet. No, not really. Once again, we're pretty apathetic up here. But I've been trying to explore and see what's going on and everything, and then hit it up. But no, we really don't. The modern youth is a very disturbing creature. It doesn't care about anything and then complains about stuff whenever it goes wrong, but never decides to change any of it. And that's what I'm basically trying to change as of now. But no, the answer to your question is just basically no.
Yeah, I know. I saw something on the TV in passing the last couple of days, in watching the news because of the what's going on in New Orleans, and I caught some guy on the local PBS station talking about how, you know, the current generations of youth expect, you know, everything to be handed to them, and, you know, complain a lot when they don't, you know, when it's not there. And they expect instant gratification from things. They expect a lot of, you know, encouragement, and don't have the drive or the know-how of, like, working hard for something and, you know, getting its results much later, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'll admit that.
Yeah.
As being part of that group, I'll admit it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I've
seen it.
Oh, go ahead.
What, continue? Continue.
I was just saying that, you know, I was, like, reflecting a little bit and going, wow, I could see, you know, psychologically being like that a bit myself. The only difference is that, you know, like you had said, whether I am or just think I am, at least I'm trying to look for ways to change things, you know, whether it's, you know, trying to make, you know, other people more, you know, inform them more about, you know, different ways of doing things or about, you know, lies that exist or whatever, you know.
I don't really buy it, Arturo. I think young people get more crap from everybody older than them than anybody. And everything they do is about... I mean, they don't benefit from anything they do until much later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's most kids do not, like, run off and live in a squat doing drugs. Most kids are spend most of their energy doing these, you know, basically doing busy work with the faith that eventually, if they put up with enough crap from grown-ups, someday it'll result in something good for them.
Yeah, well,
I think the whole analysis is you know, just parents complaining about their kids because they're not cute anymore.
Well, I mean, this wasn't put in the frame that, you know, they just give up and they become, you know, homeless kids that live in squats. It was from the idea that, you know, kids with this psychology end up just being kind of thrown into a world that they don't expect or know really how to think for the future, and this could affect the way that they lead in the future, this country or the world. But wasn't so much that that's the end all of it, you know, that, you know, that's just the changing psychology of kids and them, you know, ruling the world in the future and making decisions based on, you know, growing up with those ideals. And it wasn't so much that they were even blaming it that it was the kids' fault. It was more of they were blaming the society for bringing up kids and, you know, in with images and, you know, just this world where nothing lasts for more than 5 seconds, and we're feeding them things that, you know, with all these strange flavors and sensations that, you know, go in and out, like, you know, fads and Am I making sense anymore?
Not a bit.
But yeah, I mean, I just, I see it, and I, you know, and maybe that's the world we live in for why no one's willing.
I don't understand these young people I see on that MTV on my cable. Why do they wear their trousers around their knees? I do not understand it.
Because it's hot, Grandpa. Hot.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it is maybe just a changing ideal that, you know.
I don't buy that any other generation was ever more...
whippant?
Displayed any more tendency to think ahead more than a couple of years. I think that is a perennial problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, generation after generation is a lot different, you know.
It may be endemic to the whole bourgeoisie as a class. Imagine maybe the aristocracy and hereditary royal families would think, you know, a few decades ahead, maybe.
Well, I mean, so do you think that, you know, people don't change at all? There's no evolution and, you know, especially psychology, and that we're not affected by, you know, the consumer world that we live around? Because I disagree with that. And I think that, you know, I don't know, I think that people are affected greatly by this, and it causes them to, you know, not give a damn as much, you know?
As they did before?
Well, not as...
When was this golden age?
Oh, no, not that anything was perfect before. But there was an idea where society was, you know, this push in capitalism where society grew exponentially, and that did happen long ago, but it seems to have gotten a lot worse, and, you know, I don't know. I just think that people are different. I'm not saying that there was anyone perfect at any point, but, you know.
Well, so how are your peers different from teenagers today?
They were more... I think there are more people-oriented a little bit. There was more family functions. There was more, like, you know, the decisions they made were more for, you know, the group, the family unit or whatever, and the person that they were planning for, you know? Yes.
So, yes, your turn. So, last week, I,
and the save for Trashina.
So last week, me and another female friend of mine who's a few years older than me, we were given the charge, the responsibility, or whatever you want to call it. I really don't even feel like it really was a responsibility, but of hanging out with three young people, 7, 6, and 4. So myself and my friend, we took the three young people into the park and, you know, hang out at the park a little bit, and they were running around doing their own thing, and I really didn't want to, you know, like, be on top of anyone. And they're not my children, so, like, I don't have that maternal instinct of, like, oh, my babies! But anyway, I just want to say that, playground dynamics have not changed from when we were hanging out in the playground. And guess what? When my parents or whatever, my generation was watching me, things had not changed. Things don't change, people. Sometimes, I mean, things do change. But not in the... And not. Okay. Things change, but I think, like... I'm not making any sense anymore, am I?
I think it's the heat.
Was
the playground completely gender segregated?
No.
That's something I remember from my childhood.
But it was age, somewhat age segregated.
Some
people are still bullying each other and smacking each other and doing stupid whatever.
Well,
some grown-ups do that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Things don't change.
There's an instant message where somebody says, Pinky Atomic says, evolution evolution is not a march forward. It's a reaction to circumstances. It's random with no definite point. And they also say, I hate it when people use evolution wrong. Which, yeah, I mean, I guess that's, you know...
Have you been messing around with that evolution again? What are you evolving into now, Arturo?
Well, we put everything into reference points of our own society, and I think that's where we do get a little bit screwed up. But then again, if you, you know, get too philosophical with things, then, you know, there's no point in talking, because then it's just, you know, it's all philosophical, like, you know, waxing and waning, you know. There's, life's just nothing but this and that, and it doesn't mean anything.
Is this Arturo's rant on philosophists?
No, I like philosophy. Okay, Andre, save us here. Do you have anything? Do you have anything worth, like, bringing up that?
Which came first, existence or essence?
I'm not really sure. I've on youth that I've noticed that even though you made a point that imagery has kind of affected people, it's affected, since I'm more like in down there in the trenches, I've noticed that a lot of people are using like MTV to control their lives. It's like I decided to watch it one day because I was extremely bored, and I was watching this weird show where people were like rich people, and it was like disgustingly like rich, and I couldn't stand it. And then like I went to the mall that night because I like to just watch people, and I saw this kid who couldn't have been more than like 10 smack this girl across the face and call her a stupid bitch, and I was just sitting there and I was listening to music and I was like, wow, this is really disgusting. And I was I went up to the kid afterwards because he went and he sat down. I'm like, why did you do that? He's like, because it was the right thing to do. And I'm like, ah, I see. And I went back and I sat down. And it's that's what I do. But I decided to watch people, and I do it at different points in town and stuff, and just look at how people are and what affects different types of people. And but I think that just stereotypically, which is terrible, but especially like MTV, it's a driving force in today's youth. It's an and that's where I think politicians, in however you want to define the word politicians, kind of lack. They don't
last
realize.
Last time I looked at MTV, it seemed like it was just one long frat party.
Yeah, that's for all intents and purposes what it still is.
They used to actually play music videos. Like, that was the whole point.
Oh, they haven't played music videos in years. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
But,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think that as the years progress, and if the world doesn't end anytime soon, people will just have to continue dumbing themselves down and down and down to actually achieve the goals of attacking the youth. They're not attacking, but getting them on their back, and that's what it started to be right now. Like, I remember watching like John Kerry speeches where he's like, I want to get to the youth, I want to talk to the youth, and he's not going to be able to because he's like 50 years old and his wife is the ketchup lady, and that's the only way you're going to be able to connect to people and be like, my wife owns the ketchup empire, and then people will be like, oh, ketchup, that's that red stuff I put on my hot dogs. But no one really knows how to connect and with people, and that's how you're really going to change. And I want society as a whole to, especially teenage society, to get better, but it also goes hand in hand with the fact that public schools aren't getting any funding at all, and we're working with stuff that basically just frustrates people to the point where they get up and leave classes. and like it's just really dumb. Like I think it was 3 years ago, I worked with a book that had the USSR still in it, and I called this repulsive, and I left the room because it was like 2002, and I'm working with a book that has the USSR. I'm sorry, that's a little bit outdated, but there's a lot of
in the 80s. You were lucky if your history class got all the way up to World War II before the year ended.
But that's just what I think. I think that there are just two main reasons of the dumbing, quote-unquote, down of society, which is commercialism via MTV, via VH1, all that stuff. And then the underfunding of the public school system and just the public school system in general. That's just what I think. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I'm down there in the trenches, and that's just what I've noticed over the past couple of years when I've actually been paying any attention.
I think it's a serious mistake to treat teenagers like children, but correcting that would be such a massive reform of society, it's hard to know where to start.
Some people who advocate for youth rights want the youth to consider themselves as a class of people, similar to the way like women are considered a class, and to advocate for rights and equality that way.
The problem is nobody stays in that, you know, the what is it, 13 or 14 to 18, this kind of like weird twilight zone. You don't stay there very long. It's just long enough to teach you to, like, behave, you know, to make you learn to think of yourself as a child and a slave in an adult's body.
Have a request from somebody that's IMing. They say, try and say something new. I think it's to all of us, not, you know, to one particular person.
Who is this?
Oh, this is Pinky Atomic. Actually, I guess it would be Atomics. I don't know.
So he's heard this show before?
Yeah, this is a rerun. Thank you, Andre, for being on the rerun episode.
You're welcome.
Well, I think we should probably start wrapping it up. It's like 11:30 here, and Andre probably wants to go to bed because it's like, what, like 2:30 over
there? 2:30, yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate you being on the show tonight. That's awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and it's been fun. The end of the show is always kind of like, head into this ongoing, you know, discussion of nonsense to a certain extent, but
are you going to announce that you're ending the show about 30 times and then play a song and then talk some more about how the show is over and then play another song and
exactly.
What about doing
have heard this show before.
What about doing the go around, like what have we learned today?
Well, that's what I was going to do, something like, not necessarily what you, well, okay, yeah. So Andre, we're going to start with you. What have you learned from this show?
Well, I don't know.
Well, what would you be?
What haven't I learned?
That's you're going to be on the show next week too.
Okay. Awesome.
Well, what? I don't know. Sometimes I like to close by going around, and then it adds another hour onto the show. But what would, do you have anything to close with? Like, you know, kind of last thoughts, or you know. Some
like Jerry Springer final thought?
Yeah, exactly. Your words of wisdom for tonight.
Okay, my words of wisdom.
Read them.
Love one's brethren. There we go. My words of wisdom.
Okay.
And go Hoosick.
What's that?
My high school. It rules.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll probably
we're just going to kind of end things here in just a minute, so I'll go ahead and say goodbye to you tonight, and thank you again for being on.
You're welcome.
We'll stay in touch and maybe have to do this again, for sure.
Okay.
Maybe,
yep, thanks.
Maybe we can work together on some radio projects. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right.
Anyway, take care, and I'll talk to you here soon. Thanks for being on.
Yep, thanks. Bye.
So on.
Thanks, Andre.
Bye. Yep, you're welcome. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, let me...
Bye, Arturo.
Bye.
Bye. Good night.
Thanks for being on the show.
So what do you want to see? You just want me to say good night and turn everything off instantly, right?
I've heard this part of the show before, too.
Okay, so I'm prone to repeating myself.
You just announced that the show is over halfway through the show, don't you?
Yeah, and then I started up. It's just my sadness to see it end. No, I just want to make sure that I like to feel that, you know, I don't cut anyone off or cut a last thought off, you know. I like to make sure that everyone has closure in their life on my show.
But you'll be back next week.
Yeah, but you guys might not be. I might ban you from coming.
Ban us?
Yeah. I'm very authoritarian on my show.
I see that. Well, I'm going to directly communicate with the group that's trying to get you off the air.
Great.
That's if you ban me.
Oh, okay.
I'll be that disgruntled person.
Hey, well, thank you for coming on, Trashina. I'm disappointed that you didn't go to the chunk. What is it called?
Oh, the chunkathlon.
Yeah.
I was too busy smashing the state.
Yeah. But I'm glad it's been. Despite what you say, I think it's been a while since you've been on my show. So
no,
at least for a full show. Can we put it like that?
Okay.
Can we shake hands and agree on that?
Oh, whatever. Yeah, this is the first year I'm missing the chunkathlon since I've been in Portland, and it's really sad.
I've never even been, so.
I know. There's lots of people who've never been and never heard of it. But it's pure madness.
Okay, so it's a reptile. Any closing thoughts? Wishes?
I can believe that the man planned 9/11 in advance. I can believe that Kerry lost the election on purpose. But I have trouble believing that they manufactured a hurricane with satellites. I got to draw the line somewhere.
Well,
did you read that somewhere? Sorry.
Yeah, did you read that somewhere?
What?
Did you read that somewhere?
I've read things like that.
Yeah. I don't think that...
Haven't you been following indie media?
I try to, avoid some of that stuff, but...
Actually, usually they talk about experimental Arctic power stations rather than satellites.
Well, I've actually
heard
that...
Some of them think the entire space program is, a fraud.
I've actually heard, yeah, I agree that I've heard that they've been experimenting with technology to manipulate, to cause,
cause anything that bad that happens.
I was
going to
say erections.
That too.
No, they are experimenting with to cause earthquakes, but
they're beaming lust into my brain with microwaves.
I know. I'd rather talk about erections than earthquakes.
I just think that I don't think that anyone caused this hurricane, but I do think that there was a lot of purposeful neglect that went on.
You know, we caused the hurricane.
Yeah.
Global warming.
No, it's the butterflies. Isn't the, they say a butterfly flaps its wings in one part of the world and then it forms into an erection.
Bush is going to find that butterfly.
Yeah.
And that butterfly is in Iran.
No, it's in Syria. Go after Syria.
The butterflies of mass destruction. They're in Iran in a nuclear test site.
Nuclear.
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 Okay, well.
Good night, Arturo.
Good night, Trashina. Good night, Reptile.
Bye, Arturo.
I would like to thank... I would like to thank all the people that have made this possible.
Can we start naming them?
I would like to thank most of all Jesus Christ. I want to thank everyone that's been out there in some messaging. We've had like three or four people, you know, tonight, so that's been pretty cool. Thank you to I haven't had permission yet to say your names, so to the people in Chicago, you know who you are. Thank you for listening, and thanks for all the insight. I'm sorry I couldn't keep up with all your typing. or your interesting thoughts, but I haven't seen or heard from you in a long time, so thank you for typing in and saying hi and everything. So
he's actually waving at the monitor.
I am. It's true. And thank you, Adam from Dallas, who just typed lame on the screen. Thank you for all your hard work. For keeping Arturo afloat. And thank you, Maui, in Michigan. Okay, now see, the reason I play a song, and this is, I'm going to try to...
Good night, Arturo.
Good night, Arturo.
Is because I need to type a description for the show, and that's
bye,
why
Arturo.
I
play.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, Reptile.
Okay, can we also thank the bananas?
Thanks, bananas, and juice, and stuff like that.
I don't see any bananas.
They're on the console.
You want one?
They're good. You'll get a banana.
They're invisible bananas in here.
They're right here.
Oh, wow.
It's not junk food.
It's that's true.
Okay, we're...
It's not coffee.
We're going, okay? I'm going to play a song because I need to do something.
Hey, man, coffee's an antioxidant.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
This has been the Arturo Commando Show on Portland Indymedia Web Radio. And you can get a hold of Arturo at ArturoCommando@riseup.net. Good night.
Keep it going. you wanted me, calling me all the time. That Bondi, check out my Chrissy behind. It's fine all over the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Like sex on the beaches.